Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and built on the timeless principles of supply and demand. Text Cairo to 57682 to learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Cairo to 57682.
This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Support Ursula. She's having to yell across to
Nicole. I really had to tell you guys to tone it down.
Could you hear us?
I could hear it. The arguing was getting louder and louder.
You could hear
us? In the middle of my newscast. Yes.
Was it picking up on the microphone,
yes,
though?
Yes. It sounded like it was kind of something serious.
Well, we were having a serious disagreement about something.
You have to keep it down just a bit.
I definitely wasn't. I was whispering.
No, you're always a little loud. You tend to be a little loud.
In
the whisper conversation. So
what was the argument?
We were just discussing what stories to include in the Fastest 15.
He wanted to do the most annoying audio of the day.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I said, we'll save that for the awesome audio of the day.
Yeah,
so we don't have to do it twice.
Then I said, how about this? And she goes, we'll save that for awesome audio. And I go, how about this? And she had four things. I go, we only have three awesome audio clips. And she wanted to push everything to awesome audio, and I wanted to bump some of them up to the Fastest 15.
We have better stories for Fastest 15 than those.
Well, not if we keep talking about our little argument. We don't, then we won't have time for anything. Now, it's always very friendly. It's not an argument.
Yes.
It's not an argument.
It's good to know that you guys, are, you know, that you love
passionate.
The show so much that you're passionate
we're
about it.
Passionate.
They're so passionate that it was almost drowning out my newscast, but whatever.
Sorry, Ursula.
Okay, we do have a lot of news to talk about here. Let's start up in Tulalip in Snohomish County. I found this story fascinating. Our news partners at Cairo TV, they had this story.
FYI, I also had it in my newscast, but you guys were arguing.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Yeah, we're too busy whispering at each other. We're whispering. Because I found the guy so compelling, who was the son of the homeowner.
Yes.
Up in Tulalip. So as you just heard in Ursula's newscast, thanks for telling me that, a 35-year-old guy, he broke into a house up in Tulalip, and then the owners of the house were on an extended vacation in Mexico, and so the burglar who broke in, he started renting it out to people. He hung framed pictures of himself on the walls, lit the fireplace, even checked references of some of the potential renters so he would look legitimate. And these people paid him $5,800 to rent out the house. And I just loved the son of the homeowners because he sounds like a compelling guy. His name is Matt Dunn, and he was shocked when he heard what had happened at his parents' house.
To hear something like that really, 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 really made me mad. It's kind of dirtbaggish, you know? I mean, just using somebody's house is dirtbaggish to begin with, but going the extra mile and trying to gain from it is really crazy.
And a neighbor of this house said that the guy, the burglar who was renting it out to people, seemed like a normal guy.
He seemed like just a normal kind of guy. He befriended us. He was an evil person willing to deceive others. There's something diabolical about a person like that that would go to such an extreme.
And that neighbor with her husband, they don't think it was the first time this cat had committed a crime like this.
I would say that he had done this before.
He had all the proper paperwork and everything, so this wasn't just your average homeless guy.
And now, for the son of the homeowners, he says his mom is scared to come home from this extended vacation in Mexico.
My mom doesn't want to come back to her home. Sometimes I think about what I would do if I seen him.
Some people are brazen, man.
I know. I mean, how did he know that they weren't going to be coming back for a while?
Yeah. I guess the son told him when he said, I don't know, because he was a burglar at the house. He wasn't posing. I don't know. But some people just, they figure out ways.
And why not use that creativity?
It could just be social media. Sometimes people are tipped off by social media, and you don't have to be a friend to see something.
Yeah. It's just that guys who are clever enough to commit a crime like that, as you were just saying, if they channeled that into something productive.
Seriously.
Because there are a lot of uncreative people in the work world. And you could.
That's so true.
It's very true. And if you can just be creative, but some people just choose to funnel their creativity into crime. Next up in the Fastest 15. So last night in Seattle, there was an anti-Amazon protest. Shama Sawant was down there with a bunch of people. And what they're doing is they're demanding that Amazon and other businesses in Seattle start paying this head tax so the Seattle City Council can blow another $100 million doing nothing for homelessness in the region. But Sawant just wants control of the money because she wants to funnel it from these companies to her six-figure union buddies. And so at this protest last night, she said, come on, Amazon can afford this tax.
The tax that we are demanding, $150 million a year from the largest 5 to 10 corporations, is pocket change for corporations like Amazon.
Well, I tell you what, though. I mean, all the criticisms that I have of her, but she has the voice of a songbird. I could just sit and listen to her all night long. I would enjoy that. I would like to, the lucky guy in her life, come home to dinner, and I wouldn't say a word. I would just say, honey, just start talking. So she also said last night that they will use this to build housing. Now, what she left off is what she said last week. She wants union jobs to come out of this. She is just being used by the labor unions to try to hijack these corporations' profits.
So that we can build 750 affordable housing units every year. And dramatically expand housing and homeless services.
And she said that Seattle's become a playground for only the rich.
Every square inch of this city is starting to be a space that only the very wealthy, only the billionaires, only the most massive profitable corporations can inhabit. Are we going to accept this?
No! No way! So there's one. What's weird is, I still say, if I was Bezos, I would just get out. They've got headquarters too. All of these other cities are saying
they're expanding their footprint.
No,
I know you've
not.
Said that. Yeah, they are. That, yeah, no, you look at the square footage that they're continuing to purchase, and they have so much invested here already.
I know, but they're not. If Seattle keeps going in this direction, Amazon's not going to put up with this nonsense. I just don't see that happening.
There are many companies that are still choosing to do business here, and there's a lot to love about Seattle.
I agree. Yeah. That's why I'm so passionate about it. I love this city. I just can't stand stuff like this. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. So I'm going to play one of the pieces of audio that Nicole didn't want me to play.
Oh, no. Okay. So you're winning out, in other words.
Well,
you're going against her wishes.
It's my show. It's our show.
She's your producer.
I don't look at it that way. But I found this. We're okay? We've double-checked it?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Sean just double-checked it for me.
Nicole, and just full disclosure, Nicole just hates stories like this.
Okay.
And I understand why. There are some subjects where people are never going to change their mind. Gun control is one. It's so polarized. Abortion is another. But I just, I enjoyed listening to this woman. There's a guy, he was a Christian guy, and he was protesting very nice. He just had signs, and he was just evangelizing outside of an abortion clinic. And a woman, she looks like she's about 30 years old. She comes up, and I loved the way that she handled this Christian anti-abortion guy.
Let's be clear, he seems nice.
He
seems
very
but
nice.
But annoying as well.
No, he's just being nice to her.
No.
He's handling
her. He's provocative.
I'm already not liking this story.
I know. Nicole didn't either. But wait until you hear this woman, though.
There would be a lot less if people were not, ma'am, please don't attack.
So she lunges at him, tries to grab his sign. He calls her ma'am. He says, please don't attack me.
Go home! Go home!
MC,
go home!
Please don't destroy my son, ma'am.
MC.
Please, ma'am. Ma'am, why are you so angry?
Go home! Why wouldn't I be? You're a piece of go home. Pick up your we don't need that here.
Ma'am.
We already have enough going on. I'm a woman of this world. You're women of this world. You have no place to say about nothing. Go the home. Go
they're
the
murder down the street, ma'am.
Whatever!
I need to speak up for them. Ma'am, please.
Literally, I'm tense. My muscles are all, ugh.
I just enjoy the heck out of
mine
that.
Too.
How can you not enjoy that?
There's that's too many the way, bleeps.
That's the way that she, I know, but they're all bleeped.
I know.
But just,
and I'm
nervous.
Sorry, but is that not staged? I mean, the guy, yeah, you know, he sounds so nice.
He
and he's trying
nice.
To do it to make it even more provocative.
Of course
I mean,
he
come
is,
on.
Because... How are we talking about the guy? What, did you hear her?
Yeah, she became hysterical.
She's lunging at him?
We don't know what he did before that to provoke her.
He
I mean, obviously,
it's
a very tiny snapshot.
No, there's 45 seconds before this that we didn't play, and he's having a very nice conversation with a woman who disagrees with him, and they are just having a very calm, nice conversation when this woman comes up.
No, they are not.
Yes, they are. With the African-American woman, he was having a very nice conversation. It was, you know, passionate on both sides, but neither one of them's raising their voice. There's nothing. She just came out of nowhere. Let's listen to that scream again.
Whatever!
I need to speak up for them. Ma'am, please.
Go home! Go home! You have no right to do this! None whatsoever.
You need- he does not have a right. He's standing on a street corner in America. You have no right to do this. Now, don't you agree, Ursula, that I made the right call in playing?
No.
That Nicole didn't want to play?
No, I'm just completely stressed out now.
Because now we're going to have to play it again next hour.
Oh, no, we
and
don't.
It would have been okay
awesome
to just play
audio.
It once.
That's the best. That might be one of the best of the year right there.
And then okay. She takes a paint can and she just shakes it for
yeah,
3 minutes.
She's shaking a paint can like she's priming
hands.
It for about 3 minutes like she's going to spray paint the guy. Okay, I'm not going to play the rest of this.
That's it.
Why are you angry?
Why am I angry?
These are children who are being murdered and they need a voice.
Okay, did I make the right call in playing that audio? Okay, me versus Nicole. Text us right now at 989-973. Aren't you glad you got to hear that? Okay, it's a vote. It's a listener vote. Nicole doesn't seem amused by any of this. Do you want a feel-good story that we agree on?
Yes.
Yes, this is the best story of the day. I was crying pulling this audio.
Okay, did you hear about this NBA player last night?
No.
Okay. This guy, he's 32 years old. He's the oldest rookie in decades in the NBA. He's been banging around the Development League, which is like their minor league. His name is Andre Ingram. He's got kind of gray hair. He's
32. But,
32
for, I mean, but that's
old.
Really old for NBA.
It's
yeah,
very
certainly
old.
To be a rookie.
Yeah, most people are retired. So he's finishing up his Development League season. He's on the Lakers D League team.
And by this time, he's had many, many, many rejections, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been close, but never quite there.
10 years in the Development League. He's made more three-pointers than anybody in D League history, 713 of them. And I suspect he hasn't gotten a shot. He doesn't look like a big guy. He's just kind of a little guard. He's an African-American guy. And the Lakers called him in for what was his exit interview at the end of the D-League season. And he thought it was just the usual wrap up the season, thanks for everything, see you later. And they recorded that exit interview.
You know, just to start, I guess, wanted to see how the season was for you. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought overall, start with the team, I thought we did excellent, man. I thought we started off extremely well, especially with the...
Every year he's leading the league in three-point percentage. Last year he shot 55% from three. This year he shot 48, still kept the league lead. Obviously, always, I know this was your sixth season with us, and you've been great on the court, you've been great off the court. You've really helped out our guys in the locker room, and I think you know that. So we're very grateful to have you. Thank you.
Now you can kind of see he's looking around because Magic Johnson, who's the team president, comes in the room. And you don't come in for the exit interview for a D-League player. Mm-mm. And the team's general manager is in there, too.
You also, for I know we're supposed to meet tomorrow, but we had to move the exit meeting up to today because the LA Lakers want to call you up and sign you for the rest of the season.
I wonder why those two big guys are back here. Wow. Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, boss.
Well, you know, just come on tomorrow and get ready.
Yeah.
That's massive.
I want that 48%.
Yeah. I do too, trust me.
He got very emotional thanking the coaches.
I know all of you guys went to bat for me. I know you did. That's why I mean so much, you know. I love what I do, but when people go to bat for you really hard, it you know, that means everything to me, all of you.
So then after this shocking meeting, he calls his wife, who's, you know, been along for the whole ride with him as he's been banging around this basketball minor league for a decade.
They called me up for the last two games of the season. She's screaming, you guys can hear that.
So he plays in the game last night, and they interviewed his wife, who got to fly out to L.A. for this game.
I literally lost it and started screaming and was just very emotional. I'm so thankful for this opportunity that you guys have been giving him.
Okay, so 32 years old, the NBA season's almost over, Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs. He gets in the game last night, and on his first shot of the game, first opportunity in the NBA after this long, you know, since you've been a little kid, this journey.
I was watching that first half, get an MVP chance here at Staples Center, doesn't miss a shot, certainly ready for the moment.
This during the wife interview.
That is my husband. Anyone who knows my husband, he will definitely do his best. Anything.
It doesn't matter what he's doing. He will give his best every single time.
And so I just hold him.
He just hit another three, by the way. That was it.
Yeah, and here's the play-by-play of his first shot.
I was hoping you were going to tell me
that. Rockets. You saw it right after you saw it.
On its way, down it goes. Welcome to the NBA. Andre Ingram
makes his first try. That is awesome.
They understand the journey.
And then after the game, Charles Barkley was interviewing him.
Number one, congratulations. You made every basketball player proud today, number one. Secondly, when you got the information, did you call your wife or did you wait to go home and tell her?
No, they made me call her while I was there. like I tell everybody, I don't know what she said. All I heard was screaming. I honestly can't tell you what I said. They were just screaming. She was overjoyed. My mom happened to be there. She was overjoyed. She was praying like we do. So it was excellent, man. Just a raw reaction. It was everything I wanted to do, but couldn't do it in that atmosphere. But they did it for me. It was cool. It was really cool.
He scored 19 points.
Oh, love it.
Last night, it was the fourth most points in a Laker debut game in history. And the only guys who had scored more in their first game ever with the Lakers was Magic Johnson and Jerry West and one other very famous guy. So, yeah, it's just a very cool story.
Great lesson for all of us, too.
Yeah.
Stick with it.
Yeah. And I think if somebody could sum up how happy we all are for him. Yeah. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Hey, we got a You Be the Jury for you. Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.
Be the jury.
Yes, it's another edition of You Be the Jury, where you get to decide what should be the fate of somebody who is in the news today. Who butt dials you guys more than anybody you know?
Oh, Dori Monson. Happens almost weekly.
I don't know why. And I've got a bunch of friends who tell me that I butt dial them more than anybody.
Because you probably sleep with your phone, right?
Oh, it's not a night. No, it'll be like mid-afternoon.
Oh, just anytime.
It's random times. And I have to use I have to enter the digits or my fingerprint to get in my phone. So I don't know why I butt dial more than anybody.
I'm assuming you're texting or something and then just throw your phone in your pocket before you're done texting or before the phone goes to sleep again.
Well, this is a story about a butt dialing guy. He works for an injury trust fund for the state. And he had just finished a phone conversation with his boss. And I guess it was a heated conversation. They were disagreeing about something on the phone. And then the guy hangs up, puts the phone in his pocket, and then he starts telling his wife how annoyed he is with his boss and what a jerk this guy is. He didn't realize, James Stevens is the guy's name, he didn't realize that he had pocket dialed the boss right back after the conversation, and the boss listened in. Now, my question to both of you. If you received that dial and you heard somebody complaining about you, would you listen to the whole thing?
Yes.
Probably.
Oh, probably.
And confront them.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
We all would.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that's against the law.
Oh, it is?
If you...
To listen?
It's illegal eavesdropping. If somebody accidentally dials you, the law says that you should put down the phone because you are listening to a private conversation.
This is federal law or this is a state law in this state?
This happened in Georgia, and this is Georgia law.
I think it's
pretty widespread.
Laws that we have, too, where you can't record unless you tell them you're recording.
You can't record. I get that.
No, but the lawyer said that this is most states in the country. You are eavesdropping. Once you realize that it's a private conversation, you're supposed to just hang up. Well, the boss did not hang up. And when James Stevens arrived at work the next day, his boss was furious and told him, you can either resign from your six-figure job or you can be fired. And so the guy resigned, but now he is suing his former employer for eavesdropping on his call. And here is that butt dialer who resigned, James Stevens.
I did hang it up immediately. Oh, my goodness, it's not going to go well.
And that is everyone's nightmare, too, where you say something and you figure out the person has accidentally heard what you were saying. And here was the option he was given.
Gave me the option of resigning or being fired.
But here is his lawyer explaining what the law is in most states.
You may not use an electronic device to listen into a conversation you know to be a private conversation.
And that's it. The boss was using the phone to eavesdrop on a private conversation. And here is CBS's legal analyst, Ricky Kleiman.
What we find here is someone who really believed he had a reasonable expectation of privacy and having a very, very confidential conversation with his wife, and that yet it may not be private at all.
And the wife says, my husband was just blowing off steam here.
If I'm talking to my husband just to kind of de-stress, and we're talking to one another.
In your own home.
In my own home, then no, I don't think that that should lead to termination.
Okay, so now here is my You Be the Jury question for you. Forget about what the law says. I just want to know how you think life should be. Do you think that the boss was okay listening in on what his employee was saying about him and then saying, I don't want this guy working for me anymore. Resign or be fired. And again, I'm not asking you to make a legal judgment here. I'm more interested on how you think life should work, just given the way you view the world. Should the boss, as the law says, have hung up the phone right away as soon as he realized he was eavesdropping on a private conversation between the husband and wife? Or Was the boss okay to listen and then make the decision that he didn't want somebody who had such strong feelings against him working for him anymore? John, let's open up the old phone lines here. I want to find out your take on this You Be the Jury. You can call us right now, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476, or you can text us at 98973. You can email us, mynorthwest.com, Dory Monson show page.
You be the jury.
I'm going to go with the phone calls in the next segment. Ursula, how should life be? Forget about the law, just your view of the world. Was the boss okay eavesdropping on that call?
The boss should not have eavesdropped on the call, but I also understand that human nature is that you would. So he shouldn't have fired the guy, and he should have just kept his mouth shut and found another reason to get rid of him. If he was a bad employee or just not done anything.
The call?
Well, I like Ursula's explanation better, but yes, listen, and yes, fire.
Yeah. Listen, and look, if...
You can't fire him because you don't like what he said about you. That's not a fireable offense.
What do we say about each other and the success of this show? It's that we have genuine affection for each other.
We do.
And I would never say a negative word about either of you, and I hope you feel the same way. And if I found out that my producer was talking about me the way this guy was talking about his boss, I wouldn't want that person working with me.
It's just like
me.
If I heard a friend say that, I would not want to be friends with them anymore.
Yeah, if
you... No. Or you could look at it in another one and say, hey, you know, I just happened to overhear something that you said, and why don't we talk about it? If this person's a good employee, it's not... You don't just reject someone because they disagree with you or think something you did is wrong.
But if you heard me saying horrible things about my wife.
What was said?
Yeah, but I mean, it must have been pretty significant.
I mean, there are times you could say, you know what, Ursula, you know, that does annoy me sometimes. I'm not gonna.
But you don't.
I'd be hurt.
You never annoy me.
Please.
You don't. You really don't.
Well,
I know I annoy you sometimes. No, but I get that.
No.
Yes.
No. Not on a personal level. No.
So okay. I guess maybe the better part of that question might be, or the more debatable question is, should you listen?
Yeah, should you listen? Everyone's going to listen. I can't imagine.
Yeah, but you shouldn't, but you're going to.
Well, if you're going, okay. Let's leave it up to the listeners. 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476, or you can text us 98973. Your call's next. You know what to do with that big fat. Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
You be the jury.
Guy accidentally pocket dialed his boss and complained to his wife about the boss. The boss the next day told him, do you want to resign or get fired? And I'm checking the text messages and my emails. And right now, the majority of people, not the majority, but more than the other options, agree with Ursula that the boss should not have admitted listening to the call, but should have found another reason to fire him. So most people agree with Ursula on this. A lot of people say the boss was a jerk and bosses have to have thicker skin. Bunch of people are saying, hey, if you're stupid enough to butt dial your boss and then complain about the boss, you deserve whatever happens to you. Okay, so what do you say about all of this? I got one line open. I guess a bunch of people were jamming the phone lines telling Nicole that I was right in playing the sound clip in the Fastest 15. That's what everybody was calling you about at the beginning of this?
No, I just think they're distracted by that sound. And they're And they're not calling for this.
So if you want to grab, we've got one line open, 888-973-CHIRO. Ken is in Spanaway. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Dory, how you doing?
Fantastic. What's your juror opinion on this?
Well, you know, I've got a professional human resource certificate among a couple other degrees.
Nice.
That's totally illegal. I would have made them fire me. I would have sued them for wrongful termination, possibly a hostile workplace environment. It's totally incorrect.
Well, and that,
if your employee likes you or not.
That's what this guy's doing now. He's lawyered up. He's suing the boss, and they've said he illegally eavesdropped on a private conversation. And I mean, based on how they've described the law, I agree with you. I think the guy's got a case.
He's definitely got a case, but, you know, half the world hates their bosses. That guy's got either super thin skin, and I don't know, but why would a boss call you all hours of the night anyway? That could also be a hostile workplace environment.
Yeah, that's
intimidation.
That would
Something
be a little disturbing.
With how that was handled, yeah.
Okay.
I totally agree with you.
Got it. Ken, glad you called. Thank you. That opens up a line for you. 888-973-CHIRO. Barbara is in Kirkland. Hey, Barbara, you are the jury.
I certainly am. And in this case, I would say that the guy who's suing, he called the boss. The boss was merely answering the phone. That's probably going to be his defense. Was he really eavesdropping and looking at the definition of eavesdropping in terms of I picked up a phone call and there was that's what I was doing on the phone call, I was waiting for them to talk to me.
But
and whether he should have fired the guy, no.
But you would listen. The boss, he knew within seconds, I'm sure, that it was a pocket dial. He could tell that the guy wasn't talking to him. Was he okay eavesdropping on it?
Yes, he wasn't talking to him yet, but you don't know. So anyway, I'm sure that'll probably be his defense. And would I fire the guy? No, of course not. You can't fire him just because he doesn't like you. You got to find a better reason than that.
I got it. All right, Barbara, thank you. Let's go to Jan Incarnation. Hey, Jan, you're on CHIRO.
Hi, Dory. Long-time listener. Used to be a long-time caller.
Okay. Well, glad you're back, Jan. What do you say about this?
What I say is that the boss needs to get a thicker skin. I've been through the exact same situation. It was a tad bit different. It was my crew was having breakfast as they usually did in the side cafeteria, and somebody was leaning on the transmit button of their radio. I had coffee in the same cafeteria, and I'd gone, whatever. I just walked to the cafeteria and came through the door and said, hey, guys, somebody's sitting on their mic. Went and got my cup of coffee and sat down with them, and life goes on.
And they were complaining about you, though.
Oh, yeah, they were talking about me. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
But the boss needs a thicker skin, you're telling me.
Absolutely, okay. Without a doubt, just get over it. That's
all right.
Part of being a boss.
Okay, Jen, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to have to tally these up. I'll tell you after the top of the hour, because we're getting a ton of texts, lots of emails on this. I appreciate all the comments. You are the jury. And we have lots more to come. Big lead at 2 coming up next.
I told you I'd be true.
On the Dory Monson Show.
Tina got a big old butt, so I'm leaving you. Tina got a big old butt. I know I told you I'd be true. Tina got a big old butt.